thank you. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 13, and Romans chapter 15. Those three passages. Acts chapter 1, Acts 13, and Romans 15. In Acts chapter 1, notice in verse 2 there's a reference to the apostles whom the Lord had chosen in Acts 2, the very last part of verse 2. I apologize. Acts chapter 1, the very last part of verse 2. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I emphasize the fact that for 40 days, while he was with them, he taught them concerning the kingdom. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, after 40 days of teaching them concerning the kingdom of God, they said, will you at this time restore again the kingdom? In other words, after being taught for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God, they had no idea of a dispensation of grace. They had no idea of a church called the church, the body of Christ. They had no idea of a 1900-year period before Christ would return again and the kingdom be established. But in spite of the fact that these things are true, there are those today that insist that in that 40-day period, Jesus Christ taught them concerning the church and that the kingdom of God of verse 3 is the church, which is the body of Christ, but that cannot be. If the kingdom of God of verse 3 is the body of Christ, and if Jesus Christ taught them concerning the body of Christ, what on earth are they asking him such a question as in verse 5? I mean, to say that Jesus Christ taught them the kingdom of God as it does, for 40 days, and then say that after this period, and that during that period of time, the kingdom of God was the church, the body of Christ, and that they ask him such a question as in verse 6 would imply that they were absolutely dumb and stupid. It would bring reproach upon the intelligence of the apostles that Jesus Christ had chosen. No way can I believe that Jesus Christ has been teaching them about the church or about the dispensation of the grace of God, just simply based upon the fact that I believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. And the kingdom is not the church, and the church is not the kingdom. In verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. All right, then their ministry is to be Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. While you've got that passage there to compare it, please turn back to Luke 24. In Luke 24, and notice in verse 46, Luke 24, 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Now please observe that the conversation we're reading is on the day after his resurrection. In other words, he has risen from the dead. They've gone to the tomb. He's not there. They've come back to the upper room. Jesus Christ appears unto them. They're eating there, and Jesus Christ talks to them at that time. Now, in verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind that for 40 days, Jesus Christ taught them. He starts off by telling them that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And in the end of the 40 days, as he's getting ready to go out up into the heavens, just before he leaves them on the Mount of Olives in Acts chapter 1, what do they ask him? They ask him, will you restore again at this time the kingdom to Israel? I believe that it is a reproach upon the intelligence of everybody that listens to my voice and reads the Bible to imply that they had heard him preach and teach them concerning the church, the body of Christ, for 40 days. No way, folks. If you believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it, you can't miss that. Why, that isn't all. If you were to compare Luke chapter 23 with Mark chapter 16, when he sent them forth, he sent them to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He sent them to preach the gospel of circumcision. And he said, you are to go and preach this gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It is perfectly clear that for 40 days he had taught them, and that teaching had shown them there to preach the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. How do I know that? Because that's exactly what Peter did the first time he preached after Jesus went up. Jesus had taught him for 40 days. After the 40 days is over, Jesus went up into glory, and Peter's first message is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And in spite of these facts, preachers and teachers all the way across this country today would have you believe that Jesus had taught them for 40 days about the establishment of the church, which is the body of Christ, and that the ministry to the church, the body of Christ, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins, and that it is the gospel, the grace of God. You couldn't be further from the truth if you tried. They had no idea of the dispensation of grace, nor any idea of the gospel of the grace of God. In fact, of the business, they didn't even know there was such a thing until it was shown to them by the Apostle Paul sometime later. Now, in Acts chapter 1, again, please, verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I know then that the message of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, matches the message of Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verse 47. For in Luke 24, verse 47, he told them this was to begin in Jerusalem. And that is important that you understand that that ministry began in Jerusalem. Now, please look in Romans chapter 15. We'll get to Acts 13 in a moment. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans 15, 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, come down to verse 15. Romans 15, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I'll not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Well, obviously, the foundation that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 can't be the same as another man's foundation of Romans chapter 15, verse 20. These proof texts just keep showing up all through the Bible, and in spite of the fact that God Almighty inserted them there for your admonition and learning, there are educated men by the thousands today that would have you believe that there's no difference in them. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, and on and on. And yet, compare again, please, Romans 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Excuse me. Well, then there is another man's foundation obviously involved somewhere that is not the foundation of the Apostle Paul of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul dared not build upon that other man's foundation. Now, go back to Acts 13, please. In Acts 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, which is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and so forth and so on. Now, the sending forth of these apostles is very important. You'll notice that I've got on the board up here a chart laid out. On the left side over here, I've got the crucifixion. I've got the cross all the way to the left, and the name Jesus just after the cross. Therefore, I've got Jesus here as in resurrected. In other words, representing the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 40 days with the apostles after his resurrection, and he taught them in that 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. Then you'll notice that I've got next over here to the right the word Peter. And I've got these little marks there implying a body or implying a group or whatever. In other words, that's what they are to represent. These two marks here represent a nation or a body of believers. That body of believers that are referred to here are a nation of people, and that nation is Israel. Then you'll notice as I come over here, I've got these little marks, and they represent a sort of phasing out of that ministry and that group at that time. But up above at the very top, I've got the word Jesus again. And coming down from Jesus, I've got these lines representing another body, a body of believers. And inside that, I've got the Apostle Paul referred to. So that, starting on the left over here, I've got Jesus, the resurrected Christ. I've got Peter, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ unto Israel, and I've got Paul, the minister of Jesus Christ to the church, which is the body of Christ. But as I go past the church, the body of Christ here, you'll notice that I've got two marks over here that match the two marks on the other side at the beginning over here that represent the nation of Israel, a new nation of Israel. In other words, a new nation of Israel is formed through the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Peter, but it is interrupted. That ministry is interrupted for the church, which is the body of Christ. But when the church, the body of Christ, is gone out of the world after the rapture comes, then that ministry will take up on the other side, so that my lines on the right side of my chart match the lines on the left side of the chart, so that the nation of Israel is on both sides of the body of Christ, which is in a parenthesis in there. Then, you'll notice that just as the church, the body of Christ, I've got pictured, goes up into glory up here, the nation on the other side goes in unto the kingdom, and Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God and the Son of David, sits upon the throne of David in the kingdom. Now keep in mind that there is a distinct difference in the ministry of Jesus in the 40 days after his crucifixion than the ministry of Peter after Jesus is gone and the ministry of Paul after the ministry of Peter begins to fade out. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 7, he said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And yet, Peter said in Acts chapter 2, please turn there, in Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriot David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Bless your soul, Peter believed in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead to sit upon the throne of David. That's how my chart is established up here. I've got Peter's ministry here, looking forward to the right side over here, to the throne of David, and Jesus seated upon the throne of David in the kingdom. That's exactly what Peter had in mind in his preaching. Now, you'll notice that I've got them laid out up here then, so that there are three ministers here. There is Jesus Christ, the minister of God the Father. There is the Apostle Peter, who is the minister of Jesus Christ to the circumcision. And there is Paul, the minister of Jesus Christ to the uncircumcision. Notice Jesus Christ over here is a minister. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8, where we read just a moment ago, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." It is most fascinating then that I can include from the crucifixion of Christ over here to the beginning of the ministry of the Apostle Paul over here, that all the things across the board here is prophecy. It is a part of and the fulfillment of prophecy. But when I get to the Apostle Paul and come across the board there, I do not have prophecy as much as I have mystery. In other words, I got prophecy being fulfilled, but I got mystery in here, which has to do with the church, which is the body of Christ. Once again, please, verse 8. "I say that Jesus Christ was a minister." All right, I've got him listed up here as a minister, and I give the reference, Romans 15, 8. "Of the circumcision." No ministry pertaining to Gentiles. Now, folks, think. Put on your thinking cap. Do whatever you have to do to get the cobwebs out of your mind and think. Was Jesus a minister of the circumcision? Well, obviously, if you believe the Bible, you have to know that he is and was. Well, then, if that be the case, during the 40 days that Jesus Christ is ministering to the 40, during the 40 days that he's ministering to the apostles, the 12, is he telling them about the salvation of Gentiles in the dispensation of grace, or is he teaching them concerning the fulfillment of the prophecy of the salvation of Israel? Obviously, he's telling them about Israel. How do I know that? By noticing what Peter preached. Go back, please, to Acts chapter 2 and take Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Interpretation of the passage. Chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, 19, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. It is unmistakable, folks. Jesus Christ taught the 12 for 40 days, and what he's teaching them has to do with the fulfillment of prophecy. He's a minister of the circumcision, and he is not preaching them concerning the salvation of the Gentiles. Excuse me. He's teaching them concerning Israel, and it has to do with the gospel of the uncircumcision. When you consider this in the light of Romans 11, look in Romans 11. In Romans 11, verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now watch closely. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Why, in Acts chapter 2 and 3, Peter knew that the fulfillment of Joel was going to take place. Jesus had told them, Tarry you at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Joel prophesied that the Spirit was going to be poured out upon them. Why, Jesus had said to them, The Spirit that I send unto you shall come, and he shall teach you all things. I'm saying unto you that Jesus taught them for 40 days concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit, concerning the power of the Holy Spirit, concerning the ministry of them through the power of the Holy Spirit and the establishment of the kingdom. And that's exactly what Peter is trying to get on with in Acts chapter 2. In other words, he looks forward to the coming of the Lord based upon the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel chapter 4 that said the deliverer shall roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And Paul, in quoting that, said, For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Excuse me. In other words, Jesus Christ is a minister of the circumcision. That is, his ministry for 40 days after his resurrection there in training the 12 apostles is training them to go to the circumcision. But after the circumcision are saved, then all will go to the Gentiles. But there is certainly no implication that they are going to put aside that ministry and then go to Gentile. So I've got Jesus Christ listed up here as a minister. I've got Peter listed as a minister. The Bible declares him to be one in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And I've got Paul listed as a minister as in Romans chapter 15, verse 16. Paul is the minister of Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. Peter is obviously the minister of Jesus Christ unto the circumcision. And you cannot possibly take their ministry and make it into one and say that both of them were ministering to the church, which is the body of Christ. You can't do that without complete confusion. I go back over here and notice something else. I start with Jesus Christ over here, and I come to Peter, his minister to Israel. And I've got law in there. In other words, they were operating based upon law, and that being a New Testament law that was given unto them. In fact, the business, that New Testament law is so severe that the book of Hebrews is very specific about it. Turn to the book of Hebrews, And notice in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews 10 verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden on the foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, and that's obviously the new covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite under the Spirit of grace. Why, folks, it is perfectly clear. The law of the New Testament was in force in that during that ministry of Peter back there from Acts chapter 2 until about Acts chapter 12. They operated under the law, and later on when Paul got to Jerusalem in Acts 21, James said, "Brother, you see how many of the Jews there are that believe, and they're all zealous of the law," and on, and he said, that we hear that you're teaching people everywhere to forsake the law. And yet, Paul said that he was a minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And people get all confused who don't believe their Bibles mean what they say. They get all confused and accuse Paul of compromising by going into the temple in Acts chapter 21 and doing the things he did. They said that Paul lied by doing that, that Paul hadn't been teaching people to keep the law and whatever, and on and on. All the thing I'm trying to show you is, Peter is a minister of the New Testament law. He's a minister of Jesus Christ operating under law. But notice on the other side, I've got Paul over here. I've got Paul in the dispensation of the grace of God, not law. In other words, the minister of Jesus Christ back here, the minister of Peter here, law. The minister of Paul here, grace. And after the rapture takes place, law on the other side over there going into the kingdom. Then on the left, Jesus Christ, the minister of God. And notice that I've got him listed as an apostle. I've got Peter listed as an apostle and Paul listed as an apostle. Turn please to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Well, then Jesus Christ is an apostle. Jesus Christ is an apostle concerning holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. In other words, Jesus Christ then is an apostle back here before the cross. And that apostleship has to do with a ministry to those with an earthly calling. And hence he said unto them, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But according to the writer of the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ was an apostle of and pertaining to some people who have a heavenly calling. I'd say that's the 12, and I'd say that it has something to do with those that they ministered to. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 12. Then I've got Paul the apostle. Of course, Paul is an apostle. He's an apostle sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ before he sent it up. But I've got Paul an apostle over here, Romans chapter 15. But notice the difference in him and Peter. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Ephesians 4, 7, but under every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up. Watch it closely now. Far above all heavens. Well, that of verse 10 can't be that of Acts chapter 7 when Stephen looked and saw him seated in the heavens. it won't work, folks. All in the book of Psalms is a reference to him being in the heavens. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision, and so forth and so on. In other words, Jesus Christ went up into the heavens. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen saw him in the heavens. But between Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 9, Jesus Christ ascended up far above all heavens. How do I know that? Because I believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. I don't just spout the words off. I believe that that is true. And the passage says in verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Well, bless your soul, based upon what the Bible says without interpreting it, then the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers of verse 11 cannot be the 12 who were chosen and sent forth before he ascended up. And anybody that believes the Bible means what it says knows that it's true. Jesus Christ called the 12 and made them apostles and called them apostles in Acts chapter 10, Luke chapter 6, and other places in the Bible, and sent them forth the day that he rose from the dead. He then spent 40 days with them. After 40 days, he went out of their sight. Stephen saw him in Acts chapter 7 in the heavens. Well, he certainly was not above all heavens. And after having ascended above all heavens, as Paul saw him in Acts 9, brighter than the sun, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In other words, the ministry of Peter and the ministry of Paul couldn't be further apart if you tried to make it. Yet people consistently try to make them apostles to the same group, working for the same cause, trying to get a church organized, and so forth and so on, to the point now, I wouldn't be surprised any time to believe that somebody taught that they bought buses to bring people to church. Jesus Christ is a minister and an apostle. Peter is a minister and an apostle. Paul is a minister and an apostle. Jesus Christ is sent forth by God. Peter is sent forth by Christ. Paul is sent forth by Christ. But look at the difference in them. Jesus Christ sends Peter forth before he's glorified. Peter sees him and eats with him and lives with him for 40 days. Turn, please, to John and notice what John has to say about it. In John, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness unto you, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That is unmistakable. Jesus Christ stood in the upper room with those people, and said, have you got anything to eat? And they said, we've got some fish and honeycomb, and he ate it in their presence. But Thomas was not there. 8 days later, Thomas stood in his presence, and Jesus said, here I am, Thomas. Here's the holes in my hand and my side. Thrust your hand forth and so on. He's there in the physical body that was resurrected from the dead, and there is no mistake about that. And yet, in spite of that, look what Paul says about him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, you don't have to get an explanation for that passage. You understood that passage if you believed it meant what it said, as it said it, where it said it. In other words, the physical resurrected Jesus Christ sent forth Peter, James, and John, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Mark 16, Luke 24, John chapter 20, and Matthew 28. Then he went up. After Acts chapter 7, he ascended up on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and in Acts chapter 9, Paul saw him brighter than the sun, and Paul said, we know him after the flesh no more. In other words, the physical resurrected Jesus Christ is preached in Acts chapter 2 by Peter as being raised from the dead to sit upon the throne of David in the kingdom. But Jesus Christ went out of heaven, above all heavens, and is glorified. But after the body of Christ is completed, he shall come back down into the heavens, the position he had in Acts chapter 7, and from that position in the heaven, he shall send forth his wrath, send forth his angels, and so forth and so on, and then come back down to the earth and sit upon the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever. How do I know? Because that's what the Bible says. That's how I know. The angel said, Mary, fear not. You're going to conceive and bear a son, and you'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And between that prophecy and the day that he reigns upon that throne, he died upon Calvary, was resurrected, sent forth the apostles, the 12, to bring in that kingdom, preach the kingdom and whatever, then set the program in abeyance. Call the Apostle Paul from his position above all heavens and sent Paul forth with a message of grace to Jew and Gentile with no distinction between them. Finally, we'll finish the church, the body of Christ, call the church, the body of Christ, out of this world when it comes to its fullness, and after having done so, continue that ministry again after he comes down into the heavens. And from his position in the heavens, he will send forth these men, and the kingdom will be preached. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world to a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. After that has taken place, then he shall come down and reign over the house of Jacob forever, and that's what the Bible says. All right, on the left, I've got Jesus as a minister and an apostle, and I've got him preaching the gospel. Matthew chapter 4 is very clear that he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. I've got Peter listed as a minister and an apostle, and I've got him preaching the gospel, and that gospel that he preaches in that period of time is that gospel of the kingdom. But by comparing Matthew 10, Matthew 24, Mark 16, and Galatians chapter 2, it is obvious that the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the circumcision preached by Peter are one and the same gospel. In fact, look in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, and notice verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, he sent them forth with it in Matthew 10. There has been no indication of any change taking place. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is no way that you can prove that any gospel has been changed between Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 16. And if you can, please drop me a line, call me on the telephone, send me a tape, but let me know, because I want to see it. But that isn't all. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, And notice verse 7, Galatians 2:7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, then the gospel of the circumcision is the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, it's the circumcision that is going to carry it out and bring in the kingdom, if there is such a thing. In other words, through the efforts of, and the preaching of, and the ministry of the circumcision, the kingdom will be established and set up, and Christ will sit upon the throne. But the preaching of Paul is not going to bring in any kingdom. It is not going to establish the kingdom. It is not going to prepare the way so that Jesus Christ can sit on the throne of David. What is it going to do? It's going to fill up the church, which is the body of Christ, the body of Christ, which is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And when that body is full up, then the rapture shall take place. We shall go out of this world, and then will that kingdom message be continued again on the other side. All right, Jesus is a minister, apostle, preaching the gospel. Peter is a minister and apostle, preaching that gospel. Paul is a minister and apostle preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision. He said that he is given the gospel, and three times in the Bible he calls it my gospel. It's the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God. God could not be gracious unto you. You couldn't be saved by grace through faith without that faith being in the fact that Christ died for your sins on Calvary and was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And that is the gospel of the grace of God. What is the gospel of the grace of God? It's the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose. Is the gospel of Christ just that Christ died, buried, and resurrected? No. What is it? That Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God. That isn't all. Notice I've got Jesus listed as a minister and apostle preaching the gospel, it being the gospel of the kingdom. Peter, the gospel of the circumcision. Paul, the gospel of the uncircumcision. Notice that Jesus Christ is filled with the Spirit. Matthew chapter 3. Notice that Peter is filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 2. And notice that Paul is filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. They're all sent forth. All right. What is the ultimate end of Paul's ministry? The ultimate end of Paul's ministry is to fill up the body of Christ, is to complete the church, which is the body of Christ, and bring it into unity, one body. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the perfect man of verse 13? It's the one new man of chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Well, one new man can't possibly be one new woman or one new bride. The church, which is the body of Christ, is not the bride, and the bride's not the church. The ultimate end of Paul's ministry is the rapture of the church, the changing of the vow bodies, the catching out to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, after which the ministry of the 12 will be carried on the other side for the establishment of the kingdom, that all Israel shall be saved, and then through that ministry, salvation of the kingdom will be sent to the Gentiles, as in Matthew chapter 28. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.